We'll now hear 24-8053 and 8054, Green Room v. State of Wyoming. Ms. Demoncos, when you're ready.
May it please the court. Counsel. First, I would like to address that we would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. And then I would also like to address that we did file a motion to supplement the record. And after reading the state's response, we withdraw that motion. So for the record, my name is Donna Demoncos. I am here today on behalf of my clients, the appellants, and I won't list all of them. But the appellants are a group of store owners, business owners, who relied on the state of Wyoming's enactment of legislation that established a hemp marketplace in Wyoming. The appellants' businesses conform to the federal guidelines of the 2014 and 2018 Farm Bill. In that Farm Bill, there is a definition of hemp, and that is the main focus of this litigation. Because in 2024, the state passed Senate Enrolled Act 24, and this legislation restricts the appellant's ability to sell, produce, and grow hemp in Wyoming. The legislation changed the federal definition of hemp and criminalized the possession of what would be federally legalized hemp.
Well, that's legalized is probably not the right word. They just said it's not illegal under federal law.
When they passed the Farm Bill.
Yeah, go ahead.
It took it out. They specifically said they were taking it out of the controlled substance.
Right.
And they also took it to the jurisdiction over those matters and put it with the Department of Agriculture instead of with the Department of Justice, I guess, but they did criminalize it because if you have this now, this kind of hemp in Wyoming, as defined by Wyoming, it is now back in as a controlled one substance, and it is now under state law.
And there's a difference. I mean, the states can legalize marijuana for their own purposes, but the federal government can still prosecute, and vice versa. Although the federal government may be able to preempt state laws, and that's the issue.
That is the issue.
It's not that the federal government legalized it. Maybe it prohibited certain things from the states. But I just wanted to avoid language that I think can be confusing.
Well, and I think that I understand what you're saying there, because when we talk about what has happened with the Senate Enrolled Act, it makes the possession of this hemp that they have now said is not included in the federal definition of hemp. Oh. And it makes that part illegal. And so that's where it recriminalizes part of hemp.
In the Farm Bill, the federal act, mm-hmm. it very clearly and expressly states nothing in the bill preempts or limits any law of a state or Indian tribe that regulates production of hemp in a manner more stringent than this bill. Shouldn't we take Congress at its word that it did not limit Wyoming's ability to restrict marijuana more stringently than the federal law?
And what it does say, and we take every word, give every word meaning, they said the regulation, and I'm not going to get the
regulates hemp. The production of hemp in a manner more stringent than this bill.
And that's talking about the production of hemp, not the sale of hemp, and not what can actually be possessed in Wyoming. And so when we're talking about the regulation, they are saying that when they come in and they say, okay, guess what, Wyoming, you can start selling hemp, but you have to follow these rules. And that's what Wyoming did when they first started this. They came up with their rules, but they cannot come up with rules that, they can come up with rules that are more stringent as far as the production of the hemp.
And you think that implicitly means you can't say anything more stringent, can't impose anything more stringent with respect to sale or possession? Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that they can't change the definition of hemp.
Well, you're...
Because the definition of hemp has already been outlined in the federal bill.
For purposes...
For the federal law, sorry. Yeah.
Yes, for federal law.
You know, we...
You're just helping me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe it's confusing, but the way it works is we have state and federal law, and in many instances, the federal government does not preempt the entire field, and the state is able to regulate differently and separately than the federal government. Let's use California as an example on air emissions. They were the first ones to require a catalytic converter on a car, even though the federal government, EPA, didn't require it. They were allowed to do that. The same is true here, particularly where the statute says we're not preempting the field.
Of the production. And like I said,
well,
I think
where do you get of the production? Point me to language.
Okay, I can do that,
In the Farm Bill that says we are not preempting except for with respect to sales and possession.
And it does not say sales and possession.
And we're going to preempt sales and possession.
It does not say that. I admit
okay,
that.
Okay, help me out with the language of the bill and show me where your clients have a private right of action.
Okay, the private right of action happens, and the case that the district court relied upon, and they were talking about these people came in there, and I think it was Colorado said, there is no private right of action under this bill. But we are coming in here and saying that what Wyoming has done is unconstitutional because of the change.
Well, wait, so you're saying the state of Wyoming created a private right of action under the federal farm bill?
No, that is not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I am saying, and I'm turning to it right here, I am saying that a federal statutory right or right of action is not required where a party seeks to enjoin the enforcement of a regulation on the grounds that the local ordinance is preempted by federal law. And we're saying that that this ordinance has been preempted by federal law. And therefore...
And it's been preempted because you read the we aren't preempting language as being limited to production. Okay, and you're going to show me where in the farm bill I can read that and clearly ascertain that it's not preempting with respect to possession and sale.
Okay, the actual language that we have that they are talking about, and I apologize, I have too many notes here.
Join the crowd.
Is it where they talk about licenses for growing hemp? Is that what you're talking about? That was in your brief.
Well, when they were talking about the licensing, they did say that the states could come up with the regulations, okay?
It says if the production of hemp is not otherwise prohibited by the state, then you can get the state should give you a license, right?
Right. Okay, and so that's what Wyoming did. They said, okay, you can get this license. They allowed these people.
And then they amended their laws and said, we're not going to allow it anymore for some expanded definition of marijuana, right?
Of hemp, yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
And how does that give you a federal right based on what Wyoming did?
based on what Wyoming did, because of the language that they came up with in an area of law that has been preempted by the federal government. We are saying that they have, the federal government has come out and said, this is the definition of hemp.
Okay. And if I don't agree with you that the federal government preempted the definition of hemp, then you would lose, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, one of the things I do want to bring up, though, is that we do have to try to take a look at what the Congress's intent was. And the intent of the entire bill is to create this marketplace for hemp. And they have stated that the states are authorized to put more restrictive parameters on the production of hemp. But that does not mean that they are authorized to alter the definition of hemp or put in place policies that are less restrictive. And this intent works both ways. Because this means that Wyoming can't come in there and say, okay, well, we're going to change hemp to say that it can be not 0.3%, but as long as it doesn't have THC over 3.0%. And because Congress has limited this, they have come up with this non-arbitrary level of the amount of THC that can be present. Not only can they not make it more restrictive, but they also can't make it less restrictive.
You still haven't pointed me to the exact language in the 2018 Farm Bill that you think limits the non-preemption language to only production.
It says the subsection. Subsection, which, apologize, I should have written that one down. 7 U.S.C. Section 16390.
Is that O, maybe?
Well, that has to. I apologize. No, I know that it does say that it just applies to, specifically states there's no preemption or limiting applies to laws that more stringently regulate the production of hemp.
Yeah, that's in there.
Okay.
And that is what we're saying, is it only applies to the production of hemp as far as what the states are doing.
Well, that's pretty implicit. I mean, they're particularly, since they're focused on production in the federal statute, they're saying this doesn't preempt state restrictions on preemption. I don't think that implies that it does preempt, necessarily implies that it does preempt state restrictions on sale. You're drawing an inference there. It's not a stupid inference, but I'm not sure it's a persuasive one.
Well, I think we have to take a look at what the congressional intent was. And that's why
we look to their language. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we refer to the conference report for the 2018 Farm Bill. And it states that states are authorized to put more restrictive parameters on the production of hemp, but are not authorized to alter the definition of hemp or put in place policies that are less restrictive. And that's why I'm saying the intent goes both ways as far as...
There was something strange about that report. I can't remember, but it's not really the conference report. But I'll look into that later. There was something about that. One of the other circuits that addressed this pointed this out. Anyway, I shouldn't take your time on that.
Okay. And so basically we are saying, yes, that this area of hemp law has been preempted by federal law, and that the states are not allowed to go in there and change that definition of hemp. And that is what they did. They changed the definition of hemp.
Now you're down to 40 seconds now. Do you want to keep talking and reserve some or not?
I think I want to continue on this one, okay? Because we did have other issues as to why this statute is unconstitutional. And another reason, and I'd like to touch on, is it's void for vagueness. Because if you take a look at other Wyoming statutes, they actually talk about synthetic substances. It's hard to say right now. And on those, in another statute under the DUI statute, they do define that more clearly as to what that synthetic substance is. And that means that it must be a substance that can alter the mind and cause impairment.
Your time is up.
Okay, thank you.
May it please the court and counsel. My name is Jonathan Sater with the Wyoming Attorney General's Office here on behalf of Attorney General Hill and Director Miyamoto from the Wyoming Department of Agriculture. I'll refer to them collectively as Attorney General Hill and to the appellants collectively as Green Room. Despite Green Room's attempt to improperly relitigate the proceedings below in this court, the matter before the court here today is whether Green Room has shown that the district court erred when it granted the dismissal pursuant to Rule 12b-6. Furthermore, their briefs inappropriately cite evidence and factual assertions that are not in the four corners of their complaint. Additionally, because the district court dismissed the case, the appeal of the order denying preliminary injunctive relief is moot and should be dismissed as well. Now, you guys were talking about the preemption claim.
But we still have the permanent injunction, right?
There was no motion for permanent injunction in this case because there was just the motion for temporary restraining order, preliminary injunction.
Oh, okay. And then, you're saying the TRO is not before us because of the preliminary injunction.
No.
No, Your Honor. The motion.
The 12b-6. Yes. They were all dismissed under 12b-6, so...
That was a dismissal, but the 12b-6 complaint raised one of the remedies they wanted was a permanent injunction, no?
No, there was no permanent injunction issue in this case, Your Honor.
Okay.
So, first there was the motion for a temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction. That was denied, and then shortly thereafter, after an appeal was filed of that order, the district court dismissed pursuant to Rule 12b-6.
Let me focus you on our preemption discussion. Do you agree that the language in the Farm Bill that indicates it is not preempting state law is limited to the production of hemp?
It does. The language of the statute is focused on the production aspect of hemp, but because it doesn't speak to the other aspects of regulation of hemp and also explicitly says that states are free to more stringently regulate, those other aspects are free for the states to more freely regulate. And this was just recently recognized in the Fourth Circuit in the case of Northern Virginia Hemp and Agriculture LLC versus Virginia, where the court stated, quote, Congress was clear, despite the 2018 Farm Bill, the states retain a significant role in the regulation of hemp.
Do you have the cite to that?
Yes, Your Honor. That's 125 F4th at 495. Furthermore, this court has also held in Serena v. Denver Police Department that there's no private cause of action or private hemp under the 2018 Farm Bill, the same provisions that we're addressing here today. Those are the prerequisites that must be established in order for a plaintiff to bring a Section 1983 claim or for equitable relief, which the Green Room did pursuant to 28 U.S.C. Section 2201.
For 1983, yes, but not for an equitable claim.
Well, Your Honor, in Safe Streets Alliance versus Hickenlooper, the language in that case suggests that also for an equitable claim for relief, that there also needs to be a substantive federal right granted that wouldn't be necessary.
Well, the Supreme Court doesn't seem to think that. After that, Murphy versus NCAA, are you familiar with that case?
A little bit, Your Honor.
There was no private cause of action there. There was no substantive right, but the court considered the equitable claim and granted relief, actually. I can't remember which way they came, but they addressed the claim for equitable relief, which confirmed my dissent in the case you cited.
There is a request for a permanent injunction in the complaint.
Yes, in the complaint, Your Honor, that's correct. But we never got to the merits of the case because it was dismissed under 12b-6.
Right.
So, at best, though, Green Room's attempt to try and assert a substantive federal right is that there's a constitutional property right to hemp, but they didn't identify any provision of the Constitution or any other authority that supports that assertion.
You're still arguing that there's no substantive right here, and therefore they can't even bring an equitable claim. Is that right? Is that part of your...
That is the argument, Your Honor. You know, I'd have to go back and look more closely at the Murphy case that you cited to further expound on that. But they still have to establish that aspect of it.
I think all they have to do is say that the state law is preempted by federal law, and they can bring an equitable claim. They don't need to show that the federal law creates a private right of action. I think you'll find that if that were the law, then Murphy could not have been heard by the Supreme Court.
Okay.
But your position is that it is not preempted.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Turning to the Dormant Commerce Clause, is there any way in which the Wyoming statute penalizes out-of-state producers of hemp worse than in-state producers of hemp, or favors in-state over out-of-state?
No, Your Honor. In fact, if anything, it's more strict on Wyoming producers than it is on out-of-state producers. But there's nothing explicitly in the language of Wyoming's hemp statutes that discriminates against out-of-state producers or persons possessing it. And
it does preempt transportation, though, doesn't it, of hemp?
Yes, the Farm Bill does preempt with regard to transportation of federal
hemp. So would they have an equitable... Would they have an equitable right?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Your Honor.
Would that give them some equitable right then to seek, at least with respect to transportation, is preempted?
Not here, Your Honor, because they haven't even pled that aspect of the statute in their complaint.
Do they need to?
They would need to, and also
why?
That they're all...
I mean, why would they need to if they ask for equitable relief and they said it was preempted, maybe not... What specific aspect is preempted?
Well, because all the plaintiffs are Wyoming residents and businesses, in order to get permanent injunctive relief, they would have to be without the state and transporting it through the state in order to allege a claim under that aspect of the Farm Bill, which does preempt the state law.
Can I turn you to the unconstitutionally vague argument?
Ma'am.
One of the problems that I had with the district court's analysis of that is that the district court used an as-applied framework for looking at this, but this bill had never been applied. And isn't there case law and precedent that tells us that in a situation where the law has never been applied, that you've got to do a facial review of vagueness?
Your Honor, I'm not familiar with the case law that says that point, but we would still assert that regardless of what standard you applied, whether it was the facial challenge or the as-applied standard, that they still haven't brought a valid void for vagueness claim or an overbreadth claim.
Well, it's easier for you if it's a facial claim, isn't it? Because if there's any application that isn't vague,
correct,
then we would uphold it, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. So the district court applied the lower standard to give Green Room an even greater chance of clearing that threshold, and they failed to even clear that threshold. And in their arguments on appeal, the only authority that they cite is just a general explanation of the void for vagueness doctrine in United States versus Lesch. And beyond that, they provide no other analysis or authority to back up their claim on appeal. In fact, their so-called void for vagueness claim consists of 5-number paragraphs in the complaint, but the allegations in those paragraphs are precisely the type of labels, legal conclusions, and formulaic recitations of the elements that are insufficient to survive a motion to dismiss. Now, on the overbreadth side of things, courts have traditionally viewed the vagueness and overbreadth as logically related and similar doctrines, but for both of those, the first task is to determine whether the enactment reaches a substantial amount of constitutionally protected conduct. With respect to an overbreadth challenge, a plaintiff must show that the overbreadth of a statute not only be real, but substantial as well, judged in relation to the statute's plainly legitimate sweep. So even if this was viewed as an overbreadth claim, it similarly cannot survive the Rule 12b6 challenge. First, Green Room did not assert that Act 24 is so unclear that it will likely be enforced in an overbroad manner. And second, Green Room has not identified any constitutionally protected conduct that may be reached due to the reportedly unclear nature of Act 24. Green Room basically just calls Act 24 overbroad because it believes the legislation bans substances that Green Room believes should not be prohibited. But Green Room does not have a right, constitutional or otherwise, to hemp or hemp-derived products. Therefore, they have failed to state a plausible claim that Act 24 is either unconstitutionally vague or overbroad, and the district court properly dismissed that claim under 12b6. The other claim that we haven't addressed yet is a takings claim, but we would continue to maintain that this claim was never properly brought and shouldn't have been considered by the district court because it was not alleged in the complaint. It was only made in the motion for temporary restraining order. But if the court disagrees, we would still contend that the district court properly determined that Green Room's allegations in the motion for temporary restraining order were insufficient to state a plausible claim for relief under the 5th and 14th Amendments. Here, Act 24 does not take any property from Green Room for public use, nor regulate it to the point that a taking has occurred. What it does is prohibit certain substances that Wyoming has deemed harmful to the health, morals, and safety of Wyoming citizens.
Why is that not a taking? Because there's no use for it anymore. They can't produce this product. Why haven't they taken that product from the plaintiff?
Well, the state hasn't seized it in this matter. They've just outlawed it. So there's been no physical appropriation. It's not being taken for public use. Additionally, there's not been a regulation that completely deprives them of all economically beneficial use. They can still grow hemp, they can still process hemp within the boundaries of what Act 24 allows. There are just certain substances that the state of Wyoming has determined are inappropriate for the community based on health, morals, and safety, which it's clearly allowed to do under controlling precedent. Additionally, in the Ninth Circuit, there was a case of Duncan versus Bonta, which noted that, quote, nothing in the case law suggests that any time a state adds to its list of contraband, for example, by adding a drug to its schedule of controlled substances, it must pay all owners for the newly prescribed item, end quote. Adding substances to its schedule of controlled substances is exactly what Wyoming did here. Thus, there's no taking. And Green Room points to only one case in their argument on appeal on this point, and that actually works against them and supports our position. That case, Support Working Animals, Inc. versus DeSantis in the Northern District of Florida, the court likewise dismissed the claim in that case on 12b6 grounds. Consequently, Green Room has failed to show that the district court erred when it dismissed its complaint under Rule 12b6.
And if we agree with you on that, we need not reach the injunction. TRO, the preliminary injunction.
That's correct, Your Honor, but we would also contend that even if you disagreed, that you still would need to reach that because that appeal has been mooted by the dismissal, and therefore you don't have jurisdiction over it any longer. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Okay. Case is submitted. Counsel excused. Court will be in recess until 8:30 tomorrow morning.